Lake Effect continues on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Tite.
And I'm Bonnie North. There's graffiti or unsanctioned street art, and then there's public art. Sometimes the lines are blurred. Sometimes it's very clear which is which. But as cities around the country try to reduce vandalism, they are enlisting artists to create spaces that not only replace the blight, but also engage the communities they're in.
Sarah DeLeiden runs MKELAX, a cultural exchange initiative between LA and Milwaukee. And she's a producer for the documentary Civic Art, Four Stories from South Los Angeles that's showing as part of the Milwaukee Film Festival.
She and Stacey Williams-Ung, muralist with The Wallpapered City and program director for Black Cat Alley on Milwaukee's East Side, joined Lake Effect's Mayon Silver to discuss the role of public art in cities like Los Angeles and Milwaukee. And they start by explaining the spectrum of art and markings found in public spaces.
I always like to define it along a spectrum, where the one extreme spectrum of graffiti is vandalism. And on the other extreme with public art, it might be a $5 million marble statue, you know, commissioned by the city government for the park square. And then there's a huge amount of gray area in between. The easiest distinction to make, I think, between street art or mural art or even public art and quote-unquote graffiti is the criminal aspect. I mean, the simplest sort of on-off switch is, was it by invitation or was it vandalism? So that's kind of the easiest way to say it's one thing or another, but there's certainly a spectrum. I mean, there are certain artists who will do their artwork uninvited, but then the recipient of that artwork is delighted beyond belief. So was it really a crime or was it a gift? And then there are some very, very talented artists who do beautiful work on a building where they're not invited and the building owner is outraged even though the community loves it. So it's not always a black and white issue.
I think Stacey's analysis is actually really useful. I think it's very complicated. And I also think there's times when it's, I think of it as sanctioned and unsanctioned, you know, whether I've gone through a formal permitting process, which could be because it's commissioned and actually funded either from a government source or a private source. But I think there's many times, and I've done a lot with performance as well, where I might just be in a public space, a park, a sidewalk, and it might be more blurry whether it's actually considered to be sanctioned or not. So I think that's a tricky thing about the word graffiti. I also think we use the term a lot to describe an aesthetic that's come out of a lot of the street culture for many decades, urban street culture particularly. So I think it's just, it depends so much on what the site is, what the context is, what the relationships are. But in the end, to me, I'm just mostly interested in how to bring art experiences to where people are already living and working. And I have a particular focus on public spaces because I just believe it's really important that we use public spaces and feel like we co-own them together.
Well, that's the thing. What do these graffiti works, if it is graffiti versus an installation, what does it bring to the community or not bring? Or, I mean, there's so many gray areas, but what is the hope that an art piece will bring to a community that's sanctioned?
Well, I think what any number of art pieces can do, again, depend, wherever they are stemming from and whatever their permission level is that art has an ability to actually bring voice, you know, to a person, to a group of people, to a neighborhood, to the experiences that are there. So it's a storytelling avenue, really. And I just think it's a really valuable part of being alive is being able to see our stories around us, and that artists are just one of the kind of neighbors that can actually really help to make those stories be visible.
And so this film, Civic Art, Four Stories of South LA, showcases four different artists or art projects. Can you tell me a little bit about the different artists and their locations in LA?
So the project grew out of the Los Angeles County Arts Commission. They got a grant through the Open Space Program in Los Angeles County. And the goal of the program was to come up with a creative form of graffiti abatement because the county is spending millions of dollars every year repainting their neutral blank walls that have no windows that have graffiti marks of all different kinds that can show up anytime during the course of the year. And so it was an experiment, again, within the county government to try to see if making an art investment might affect literally how much other graffiti incidents happened at the sites. But also really at the core of it, it was just using art to invest in the public spaces as a place that people in the neighborhood use. They were all well-used public spaces, two parks and two libraries in South Los Angeles County, and how that could actually become again, how could the new artworks we put in be an expression of that place and the use that already was there as well as the use that could be there. But one other layer that ended up being really important with these four sites, these four different neighborhoods and four public spaces inside of them, was that I did an initial site analysis of each of the sites, and from there worked with the county staff to actually decide artist teams to work with each of the sites over the course of a number of years. And one of the things that I discovered really early on was that South Los Angeles actually has a broad range of cultural groups in it now. A lot of the neighborhoods are historically Black neighborhoods, and there's still a considerable Black population in the neighborhood. But there's also a lot of Latina families now. There's different Asian American immigrant groups. So it just was very broad. And so we really looked at how the art projects could talk about cultural exchange in the U.S., you know, so how we actually have to spend more time communicating, listening, just connecting with each other, because it's very easy for any cultural group to stay with itself and not necessarily be curious about who else is right next to them even.
And what were some of the ways that you were able to get these cultural groups or the people actually living in the locations involved in the projects?
Great question. That was the heart of what the project was about, was doing different experiments of socially as well as physically at each of the site as an effort towards graffiti abatement, but again, as just an effort of exploring what civic art could mean. So one example I really love, we worked with a collective called Cocina Abierta, run by Cristina Sanchez, an artist I had worked with in the past for a number of years I really love. And she and her team, what they figured out is they identified five different community chefs in the neighborhood. And each of them, the chefs, again, was a different cultural group. And they each had a role at the park already. So one was a softball coach, one ran the Zumba classes. So we ended up doing video profiles of them because we had decided that we were going to activate the community kitchen that was in there's a community room and kitchen that was right in the center of this large recreational park. Victoria Park is the name of it. And so the chefs each took turns cooking a dish from their family inside the community kitchen, and we recorded this, just made professional cooking show videos. But we also made a profile video of them out in the park doing what they do. And another layer of it then was we regathered all of these community chefs and their networks, their families and other friends that came, also many who used the park already. We gathered them together and we screened these videos. Everyone came for a potluck meal.
There were some talkbacks with people that were living in the communities and people giving ideas and, you know, communication about what they wanted in the space, right?
Yeah, and again, it was us gathering these different neighborhood leaders who all used the park together to have a meal together always. It's like frequently about having food together, but then also talking about what they would like to see and what they valued about the park itself as well as their role there.
Well, and right here in Milwaukee on the east side, there's Black Cat Alley, and that was an installation of public art that happened in 2014, right?
Well, it began in 2014, and then the big installation to reveal it to the public was in 2016, where all the artists sort of had a crash installation all at once, almost exactly a year ago in September of 16. And then we did a smaller installation plus a green space in this fall, in September.
Well, and one of the things that you see in the movie Civic Art is that there's so much work that goes into the installation, the conceptualizing of the project, the actual getting okays from people, the bureaucracy, and then the putting it together. Did you feel that in Black Cat Alley as well?
Well, we wanted Black Cat Alley to be a 2014 project, so if that answers your question. You know, we started off with fairly modest goals, like let's get some students to paint this alley. This alley is gross. It was as simple as that, as the nugget of an idea. But then those of us who were planning it had experience with other public art projects and muraling, and it just kind of started to have these broader aspirations of what can this really mean for this community, for this neighborhood. We have this opportunity here to have a lot of artwork in a small space. And I'm really inspired by what Sarah was talking about, because we also wanted to make it be more than just murals. How can we have performances here? I mean, we've had swing dancing events there, dinners in the alley. And, you know, this was an alley that was full of garbage. The city back in the 80s, I've heard, don't know if this is true, had a sign up that said rape zone. You know, I've heard just horror stories about this alley, and it, you know, has had homeless encampments and so on. So we've gone from something that was a real scourge on the community, on what was otherwise a really lovely neighborhood, to something that's now like a tourist, an official tourist destination in the city of Milwaukee. And that's really magical to see that transformation happen and to see people bringing school children to a place where formerly grown men wouldn't even go. It's just been really great.
Have you found that in the spaces in Los Angeles that were showcased in the film, that it's had a transformation?
Yeah, I mean, we were working with, again, public spaces that already had a pretty strong use. It's part of what was actually quite touching to me about the sites. And right where the artworks were placed weren't always necessarily right on the wall where the graffiti might have happened previously on the site. A lot of times I think the art can be a flashlight in some ways. It can just show what's there, and whether that can be something that people don't want to see or they do want to see, like, that's all part of the package. And I also think that the art can just start to open up imagination about what's possible. So a lot of times, even if it's a space that's, you know, it can be a space that's really in decay, like Stacey's talking about, which I've dealt with many times also. But sometimes it's just a space that's nondescript and it's not thought about much. And so it's like how to reinvigorate those. And for me, it's also always about the government itself. I mean, I'm very interested in local government, how to support the government to become stronger. And so I feel like a lot of these art investments, both the physical and the social investments, can just help neighbors relate to their government, particular government staff workers and politicians, but also to the government as an entity that technically in a democracy we all co-produce. So it's just humanizing the government in a lot of ways too.
That's exactly right here in Milwaukee too. The Department of Neighborhood Services took note with Black Hat Alley and other similar projects, and they really are trying to understand how to use these art projects to invest in different areas of Milwaukee. Another thing that was so nice about Black Hat Alley, over and above the impact it had on just, you know, ordinary citizens like you and me and just enjoying it, was that other neighborhoods took note. So Bayview, for example, became interested, and we did a project in Bayview with much more highly used spaces. And Sarah's right, it's so different analyzing the project for something that's a place that's in decay that you're trying to draw attention to in a positive way versus a busy city roadway like Kinnickinnick, and then putting 5 new murals by women artists all along KK. How does that change KK? How does it change Bayview? How does it improve Bayview? And what does it say about the neighborhood? Now West Allis is interested. Now Lindsay Heights is interested. And as we take these different neighborhoods with different demographics and different goals, you can't just say it's a one-size-fits-all, like, yep, no problem. We'll go find you 5 artists and we'll paint 5 new pictures and everything will, you know, be different. You have to really analyze, what is your goal with this project? What are you trying to say about your neighborhood? What are you trying to say to your neighborhood by doing this project? And do you want to invite artists from outside for positive reasons because it exposes the community to new art and new voices? Or do you want to celebrate artists from your neighborhood, which is also positive, to say, let's leave a legacy of the people who lived here? So there's so many different and beautiful things that you can do that are all just different flavors of how, like Sarah said, the government of that community or the organizers of that community, even if they're not like official government, how do they create that dialogue with the people who live there every day?
From the artist's perspective, you were talking about, you know, whether to bring people in from the outside, whether to have people that are homegrown in the community. But in the film, there was one of the artists, I think his name was Fausto Fernandez. He said of finishing his project, it feels like a breakup at the end. You work on it for a year, then it stops, and everyone goes on to the next project. So my question for you, Stacey, about Black Hat Alley is, does it feel that way for you as well? And how do you continue the public engagement with the project after you're finished creating it?
Well, Black Hat Alley, our vision for it all along has been that it would change and be like a public art gallery. That was our best analogy for what it should be versus just being set in stone. And traditionally, street art, at least in our community, especially in historically Black and Latino communities with legacy murals, the mural is meant to be a legacy and to last as long as possible. You look at, you know, Reynaldo Hernandez's mural that got redone after 25 or 30 years because everyone still loved it and still wanted it there on North Avenue. That's a very different kind of mural than, say, Adam Stoner's mural in Black Hat Alley, or even Tia Richardson's or anyone else's, because those are more contemporary murals that speak to something that's happening with us right now. So maybe they'll feel a little tired in 2020. Wouldn't it be more exciting to paint over them and have new paintings that surprise us and delight us and make us want to come back to Black Hat Alley the way you would visit your favorite art gallery and say, what do they have up now? Because I just think that's what's going to keep it more vibrant. I also think programming with more 3D work, with more installation work, with light work, things that people don't expect, dancers, anything. In a way, the content of it almost doesn't matter. It's almost incidental. It's about creating experiences and stories that make Milwaukeeans want and visitors want to come back to that space repeatedly.
Would you agree, Sarah? What is that you're trying to accomplish with the works of art and people driving by or people walking by?
So we have a very complicated current practice and history with where art exists in our culture. And the point is there's still a lot of art experiences that are put into very specific spaces like museums. There also are a lot of art experiences, again, formal and informal ones that are happening at sidewalk level. But to me, again, I'm really interested in how to encourage further production along those lines. And also for me, it's a lot about encouraging a certain kind of artist that actually wants to work with the people around them as subjects, sometimes as co-producers physically. You know, that I think this is about a kind of art making as well as what the actual works are that are finished in the end. And all of this to me is just about a way to have what I would call civic engagement happen. Like whatever sector you're coming from in terms of a professional sector, whatever geography you're coming from in the neighborhood or in the city, or just whatever your cultural identities associations are. And I really love what Stacey's saying about, you know, I too, while I'm making things that are permanent, they're going to last usually for minimum 5 years and often many, many years. It's also about how to keep a certain life to that and a feeling of change. So sometimes I just think our stories and having our stories visible, it's part of what helps us both appreciate where we're at, but also change and know what we can become and start working towards that.
That's so cool. Well, thank you so much, Stacy and Sarah, for coming and speaking about it, for your projects, and I wish you luck in the future.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Sarah DeLeiden is producer of the documentary Civic Art, Four Stories from South Los Angeles. Stacy Williams-Ung is a muralist with Wallpapered City and program director for Black Cat Alley on Milwaukee's East Side. They spoke with Mayan Silver.
Civic Art, Four Stories from South Los Angeles shows at the Milwaukee Film Festival this afternoon at 5 at the Times Cinema. Bathroom stalls underneath that freight train bridge.